Hello and welcome to a FIBEL Collaboration podcast episode. Today we hear something about beneficial insects and whether flowering plants have an effect on their abundance and diversity. So maybe we start with you, Paola. Can you tell me who you are and what you're doing here at FIBEL?
Yes. Hello, everyone, and thanks for hosting me here. I'm Paola Cassiano. I'm an intern at the Group of Entomology and Agroecology here at FIBEL. And in the past few months, I have been working on two research projects focused on beneficial insects.
So you said you're an intern. What's your home university or where do you study?
Yeah, so I am about to finish my master in plant sciences in Wageningen in the Netherlands. And I'm an agronomist.
So maybe you want to welcome our Italian listeners from your podcast as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because talking about agricultural podcasts, I recently published a podcast which is called AgriCerca, which is a series of episodes where Francesco Garassino and I, we interview people from Wageningen University, so professors, researchers, and also students that share their knowledge about the research they have been doing in the last year. So it's in Italian, so all the Italian speakers, listeners, are very welcome to go and Google it. You can find it on several platforms.
And we will put a link in the show notes for sure.
Yes.
And why did you decide to come to FIBEL?
I decided to come here because I'm really interested in the type of research that FIBEL does. So really focusing on organic farming, sustainable farming, and trying to cooperate with farmers to understand what are the main challenges they want to face and how can research, how can science help them to solve these challenges in a sustainable way.
So maybe can you precise a little bit more? What's your main research interest?
Yes. So I am very interested in functional agrobiodiversity. So in increasing the complexity in farming systems. And we know that this has many beneficial effects, both for the farmer and for the ecological systems where the farming systems are in. And in these past months, I've been focusing mainly on insects. So how a higher biodiversity of insects can have a good impact on farmers' performance.
So can you give me an example? So if I think about insects and farming and plant health or plant growth, I think about pests that eat the crops. So why are insects important?
So for sure, insects are very known in agriculture for being a problem because, as you said, there are a lot of insects that can have a very negative impact on farms' yields. And it's important to try to find ways to control them and keep them on a level that they are not so harmful. So part of my research is focused on this type of insects, so the pests. But on the other hand, there are also beneficial insects that are, for example, pollinators or natural enemies, which are predators of agricultural pests. And so increasing their presence in farming systems, we can provide an indirect method of controlling insect pests.
So how do you increase their density of the beneficial insects? How do you do that?
Well, there are many ways to do that. Sometimes it's about reducing the pesticides or avoiding pesticides application because we know that the majority of insecticides are not selective. So they do not only harm the pests we want to control, but they also have an impact on pollinators and other beneficial insects. But more specifically, what the two projects I'm working on are focused is to use flowering plants to add them to the farming systems as a tool to attract these beneficial insects, providing them a habitat where to live, offering them praise or other source of food, for example, pollen or nectar. And in this way, they can reproduce and perform the ecological functions that are beneficial for both the ecosystem and the farmer.
So about these two projects, do you want to maybe start with one project and tell me what you're exactly doing there?
Of course. So these two projects are focusing on increasing the beneficial insects' presence, abundance and diversity. One is about urban settings and the other one is about agricultural settings. So the first project I've been working on is about growing flowering plants in organic potato crops. And the idea is that growing these secondary plants, we can attract natural enemies of agricultural pests. So in potato crops, we have, I would say, two main insect pests. One is Colorado potato beetle and the other ones are aphids. They can both be very problematic for agricultural farmers. If not controlled, they can create very big yield losses. So what we are testing in the entomology group at FIBL is growing secondary plants next to the potato crop in order to attract this generalist predator, natural enemies of these pests, which can help the farmer to control the abundance of the pest below the limit that is really causing an issue for the farmer. We are testing two species of plants. One is buckwheat and the other one is fava bean. So in our potato field, you have to imagine that we have this row of potatoes and between two potato plants, there are three fava bean plants or three buckwheat plants. And why we choose these plants? Well, first of all, we know they can grow well in Switzerland. So the climatic condition, the soil conditions are good for these plants. They can be grown in combination with potatoes, because all the agronomic practices that are done on the potato are also feasible for these other plants. And they do not compete so much with the potato plants because of their different requirements. And most important, the reason why we choose them for the experiment is that we know that these plants produce flowers that contain a lot of nectar that can attract the natural enemies. But even before flowering, they produce extra floral nectar, which is also nectar, but instead of being produced by the flowers, is produced by other parts of the plants, so like leaves. And this is really important because this can potentially allow the farmers to control or like to attract these beneficial insects, not only when the secondary plants are flowering, but also much earlier in the growing season, when the habitat for these generalist predators is often lacking. So the experiment is still going on. So we cannot present results right now, but in the near future, we will have for sure a lot to tell about this, and hopefully you will read about it in FIBL newsletter and in farmer fact sheets.
Can I ask two questions on this experiment? So one is, you said that the beneficial insects, they are attracted by the nectar. And on the other hand, they should reduce the amount of the predators. So they eat nectar plus larvae or adult stadiums of the potato beetle. Is that correct?
Yeah, so what happens often with this group of insects is that they have different food sources depending on their life stage. So, for example, maybe for some insects, when they are larvae, they feed on prey, so on other insects that can be, for example, the Colorado potato beetle or the aphids. And then when they grow, when they become adults, they then feed on nectar or pollen. So if we can attract them when they are adults and they're looking for this pollen or nectar, then they can reproduce and then the new generation can feed on the pests that we want to control.
Okay, now I get it. So my second question would be, can you use the crops, so buckwheat and fava beans, they also produce crops, Can you also use them as a farmer?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you can harvest them. They can still be a secondary product or a complementary product for the farmer. I would say the main challenge and still need to be solved is the harvest, like mechanization of the harvesting process. So that would be maybe the next step. First of all, we want to check if our hypothesis that these plants can attract beneficial insects and help to control the pests can be actually confirmed. And once that will be confirmed, then maybe the following step would be to find a way to actually make it feasible in the farm.
So actually, I have a third question, sorry.
Of course, we're here for this. Please ask all the questions you have.
So you said there is a potato plant and then there are three secondary plants and then there is another potato plant. Does it mean that you have to have the space between the two potato plants wider than usually? So you the amount of potatoes that you can harvest is less in this system?
Yes. Well, you can decide what is the space between two potato plants on the row. There are different distances that are usually used. Also depends on the potato variety, how big they grow. I would say that yes, you have to leave a little bit more space, but not so much more. It's not like half of the potato plants that you would have. So the density is slightly lower, but not so much lower. And yes, having a lower density of potato, you can probably have a lower harvest. But as you said, you will have a secondary harvest or a third harvest with the secondary plant. And or you will have less needs of pesticides. So actually the final yield of the potato also depends on the impact of the pests. Mm-hmm. So maybe you will have in the end more potatoes than in the monoculture. So higher yields because you will have lower losses by pests. This is still to be investigated. We don't know yet.
Okay, so the second project, you said it's like urban based. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So we know that it's very important to increase the abundance of insects, not only in agricultural areas, but also in the cities. And we know that having green areas in the cities, it's really crucial. Even if small areas do not have a big impact on their own, put them all together, they do have an impact on the insect abundance in the cities. And an important part of this type of urban green areas are private gardens. So what we want to do is to check if growing a mix of flowering plants in urban areas can be not only valuable for the ornamental value of these plants because they are beautiful to see and to decorate our gardens, but also because they can attract beneficial insects. And in this case, I'm talking both about the natural enemies that I mentioned before for the previous project, but also pollinators. So what we're doing in this experiment is to test different mixtures that we have and see which one is more effective to attract these insects, which one is more insect friendly.
So you said you have these mixtures. Did you design them yourself or select them yourself? Or is it something that one can buy in a shop?
Yeah, hopefully consumers will be able to buy them soon in supermarkets. So we didn't develop the mixtures ourselves. These are coming from a supermarket that asked them to test their insect friendliness. And we are comparing these mixtures with a control with a reference that was developed at FIBO and that we know that already good to attract beneficial insects. The main thing about this project is that, of course, there is not just one way to scientifically decide if a mixture is insect friendly or not, because there is not just one definition of insect friendliness, right? Insects are a very diverse group of animals. And even among pollinators and natural enemies, some species prefer certain plants, others prefer others, and it also really depends on the season. So one of the main point of these flowering mixtures is to find a mixture of plants that can be grown for the longest period possible, so for several months. And at the beginning of the seasons, some plants will flower and will attract certain group of insects, and later on that will change. So it's not about one specific group of insects itself, it's about the the complexity, all the community of insects that are available. And it's both about the abundance, so the number of insects that are being attracted, and the diversity, because of course we don't want only bumblebees or only honeybees. We would like to have the most diverse species, because we know that's the strongest feature of ecosystems, to be diverse.
So can you tell me how you measure that? How do you measure the diversity of the insects?
Yes, so we are using different tools for different insect groups. So for what regards the natural enemies, we are counting them. So once per week, we assess the abundance and the diversity of these insect groups in the mixtures. We know that we have to make our monitoring in specific part of the day when the weather conditions are not extreme or are not unfavorable for insect presence. And we really look leaf by leaf if there are eggs or larvae or pupae or adults of these groups that we are looking for. And then we will analyze this data and see how these numbers, how this data will change during the whole growing season. And for what regards the pollinators, we have a software that allows us to record the behavior of the pollinators, because while the natural enemies are much more stable, they stay on the plant, so it's easier to just go there and look. Pollinators fly, so we have to be much quicker. And so what we do is that we have a specific amount of time set for each mixture. We go there also when the weather conditions are favorable, once per week, and we observe how many insects are present, so the abundance and the diversity again, but then also how much time is spent by each individual insect in the mixture, how many flowers are visited by the insects. So this in the end will give us an idea of the quality of the resources present there, the quality of the nectar, the pollen, and the likeliness of these mixtures for the pollinators for each group that we're looking for.
So for both of the experiments, what would you say are the greatest challenges that you had to overcome?
Yeah. Well, I think in general, there are still big knowledge gaps in this area of research for what concern the exact plant species that can have a good influence on the ecosystems we want to look for. So we still don't know which plant species are better in which contexts. So there is still a lot to be investigated, and this is valid for both projects. Focusing on the project in agricultural settings, I would say, as I briefly mentioned before, the main challenge is the mechanization. Of course, now we are in a research site, so we can invest a lot of time also in doing manual operations. But then to let this experiment really being applied on a farm, this will need to be done in a more efficient way. But yeah, that would be the next step. And for the experiment in the urban area, I think also maybe the awareness of the consumers, of the private gardeners, that is also something that might be challenging, because I would say that my impression is that now the most research feature in a mixture is that it's beautiful and maybe that is flowering for a long time, but not really attracting insects. Also because some of the insects we are attracting, they are maybe not very liked by consumers. So like, for example, we're looking at flies. I don't think most of the people would like to have a lot of flies in their garden. So this is something that for sure needs to be better explained later on. So maybe when we will have a mixture, it would be important to specify that, yeah, you are growing this mixture not only because it's beautiful to be seen, not only because it's decorating your garden, but also because somehow it has an impact on the insect diversity and abundance in your city and in the world. And this is something that is really important.
From a consumer point of view, how big would you say should be an area that's dedicated in my garden to such a flowering mixture that it really has an impact on biodiversity?
Well, The short answer is that we don't know yet. But I would say that the biggest, of course, the better. So I think it really depends on the specific context. So, for example, it would be better instead of having nothing to have the flowers on the border of your garden. But it would be even better to have the flowers inside the garden, so in different spots. We know it's important to create corridors to let the insects pass and cross, so not create an area where there is really not even a path for the insect to go. But the specific area really depends on where is your garden, how big is your garden, what are the climatic conditions, what is the level of biodiversity in that specific area. So I do not have a specific answer on this.
Yeah, so thank you for the talk. And maybe just the last point, maybe you can give an overview or a conclusion about your time at Feeble and the work that you did.
So working on these two projects has been very interesting for me, because during the first project, the one about potato crops, I really had the chance to design the research proposal from scratch and setting up the experiment in the field, collaborating with the agronomist and the farmer, together with my supervisors from the entomology group. So I would say it was really like a teamwork, and I learned a lot of different type of skills from each of these persons involved. And and it was extremely interesting also to see what are the challenges to actually do an experiment in the field, because you have to combine all the scientific aspects with the more practical ones. So with the need of the farmer, of the agronomist, of the people doing the manual work in the field, and also, of course, with the scientific questions asked by the sponsor of the research. So it has been very challenging to put them all together, and I think I learned a lot. And the second project was also very interesting, because I got the chance to expand a bit the horizon of this topic, not only focusing in rural areas, but also in the cities, or like, let's say, in more urban areas, and focusing also on pollinators that, of course, are very famous beneficial insects, maybe much more famous than the natural enemies. And for me personally, it was really interesting to use this software I briefly mentioned before to record the insect behavior, because it's actually very fun to take the measurements for this. It's really like playing a video game, but in real life. You have this little tool where you have to record every movement of this insect. So it was kind of fun. And I'm grateful to my supervisor that taught me how to do it. And in general, I think it was very interesting to work in a research center. It was my first time working in a research institute, which was not a university. So for sure, I learned a lot, and I'm willing to learn more in the time that I still have to spend here.
So good luck with that. And thank you very much for the talk. And all the best for your future as a scientist.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for welcoming me and inviting me to share what we did about these two projects.